Everyone's asleep. Everyone but me. And I can't help feel like I'm doing this all by myself.
Broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated and Fukushima irradiated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island chained nation in the sunny slave South Pacific, where we make fun and comedy out of the most horrible, horrific, genocidal and scumbaggery subjects that you could ever conceive of on the planet Earth, in the Schwarzenegger sense of the word. Now, I was going to be talking about, asset sales, the New Zealand asset sales. Now, I want to also inform other people about my good friend Evelyn Gilbert. She's going to be on Jim Fetzer's radio program in about an hour's time. So those of you who are listening live, you can tune in if you're not interested in me anymore and you'd rather hear Evelyn and Jim Fetzer having a program and talking about 9/11. Evelyn used to be in the special effects game, and it's funny when you look at 9/11 and you have special effects experts watching it, they're like, I could do that, and in fact I could only do that in special effects. That's physically not possible. So it'll be a great conversation. So, yeah, radiofetzer.blogspot.com. That's radiofetzer.blogspot.com. I just wanted to give my good friend Evelyn a little bit of a plug there. Speaking of which, it's kind of the mood of the show as well. It's not about me. I just happen to be here and fielding all this little stuff. You know, have you ever seen that episode of The Simpsons where they go to Australia and when they're traveling, they're actually flying around the outside of the Earth, but the camera doesn't. The camera goes straight through the middle of the Earth, and in the center there's Shiva with like about six arms pulling all these knobs and levers. That's me. Okay, I'm right in the middle of it all, and there's a lot of work, a lot of responsibilities, and I can't make sense of it half the time. But anyway, we're all here to do what we're all here to do, and asset sales. Now, this is a great one. John Key, the Prime Minister, in all his infinite fracking wisdom, has decided it's going to be a good idea to completely destroy this country. And I'm acting under the assumption that he didn't really come up with this idea himself. Because just like every other politician, he's a useless order-following, sycophantic scumbag. I don't want to bag all politicians in that particular light, but they're all scum. Now, I'm joking. I'm pretty sure there's one that isn't scum somewhere or something. You know, I just haven't found him yet. In fact, what does make a politician? Why do you want to actually go in there to seek all that power? The people who actually have power, who are actually responsible and decent with it, aren't the people who actually want that power. They just took responsibility and other people saw that they were the responsible people, so gave the power to them, as opposed to politicians who have no responsibility whatsoever and go out campaigning so that everybody will give up their responsibilities and give the politicians more power. That's the difference. That's the relationship. As far as I'm concerned, anyway, I could be wrong. Yeah. And that's fetzer.blogspot.com. Fetzer with a Z. Radiofetzer.blogspot.com. Hold on a second. I've got people in the chat room asking me for this now. Okay, now, asset sales. I've got to keep reminding myself to keep talking about this one because it's very, very important. Because yesterday, my good friend Penny Bright was out there with her little banner and things of that nature. And she is kicking ass all day, every day, exposing scumbaggery. And Penny's cottoned on to something that I cottoned on to as well, which I thought was probably the most important thing. When you're dealing with a minority government, something that has very little conscience, like the National Party, or basically any party that's in charge of your country right now, wherever you live, it's all a Rothschild party, isn't it? What they want to do is they want to push their agenda, and they'll push their agenda regardless of what you say or do, okay? That's the short and the curlies of it. That's what they want to do. What you have to do as a people, on the other hand, is resist. And at best, what seems to be happening recently is that at best you can delay or derail talks or negotiations or sales of things of that nature, right? You can and you do. However, you can't stop it unless something much, much more drastic happens. Because, well, essentially, people will stop the asset sales and say it's a right-wing thing. It's not a right-wing thing, okay, nor is it a left-wing thing, because both sides of those arguments are wrong, both of them, okay? You know how I know? Because if one of them was actually right, the argument would actually be pretty frickin' short, wouldn't it? Okay, this is the thing. How can people have arguments for centuries, okay, unless both of them are wrong? It's not possible, okay? That's how they've distracted everybody. The whole asset sales thing is not a right-wing or a left-wing thing. It is a New World Order thing. It is a International Monetary Fund, World Bank, Bank of International Settlements thing. It is a New York Federal Reserve Bank thing. It is a Bank of England owned by the Rothschild family thing. Those are the people that want you to sell your state assets, not John Key. He's just a middleman. He's being told what to do. Okay, that is precisely what's going on here. He's been given his orders from overseas, as every single prime minister does. You know, like the whole concept of selling assets is a logical fallacy, if you actually looked at it with any form of logic, of course, because you've got your asset. Let's say you've got a house. Okay, now, your house provides equity. You get, let's say it's a rental property, okay? You're receiving money from that rental property every year, and it's enough to pay off the mortgage and a little bit extra. Now, when you want to pay off that house, let's say, for example, you want to sell that house, and you've only paid off, say, 10% of the mortgage. You have 90% debt, so that when you sell the house, you get 10% money back that you'd already paid into it, and that money is incapable of generating any more revenue, unlike a house, okay? Even if you're top-heavy on a mortgage, 90%, if you've got rent coming in and it's covering the repayments, it's a good business move, right? What John Key's saying is no. What we're going to do is actually sell that house and give that 10% of the money that we've got to foreign bankers and then get them to loan our own money back to us at interest. motherfracker. the scumbaggery. It's unintelligible to anybody with logic, okay? It's because these people aren't using intelligence. They're using scumbaggery, okay? Yeah, the other politicians, like Russell Norman and David Shearer from the Labour and all that kind of stuff. You know what these people's argument towards asset sales is, okay, in their analysis of what the government's doing? They say, oh, they're foolish and they're making another mistake. Excuse me, when somebody makes a mistake 10 times in a row, they are either intentionally doing it or they are completely retarded and need to be on 7 types of psychiatric medication so that they will not be able to perform their job as Prime Minister and later on slip into a drug-related coma and die. Okay, that is what you do with politicians who do things that just aren't based in reality. Okay, send them to the nut house. All right, a 14-year-old with common sense would draw the same conclusion. That's freaking nuts. Okay, John Key needs to be sitting there in a mental hospital next to an old lady who is knitting a sweater that isn't there. Okay, this is the appropriate punishment, I think. And of course, this should be done to all of the all of the insane politicians that back them up as well. In fact, we've closed down our psychiatric institutions in this country, thank God, because what they were doing is just drugging and lobotomizing everybody left, right, and center and completely doing massive damage to society to the point in which these insane people who've been driven nuts by the drugging and the kidnapping and all of that other kind of stuff that the psychiatric industries do all the time, now they're living on the street and they're actually a heck of a lot better off with no shelter, no food supply, and no money. They're actually better off with none of those than inside the psychiatric hospitals where they have all the food, water, and everything that they want, except it's all laced with incredibly dangerous experimental pharmaceutical medications for which they get copious amounts of money off. Okay, let's just not have that anymore. Okay, now, this is not entirely dissimilar from how Parliament works, okay? You can actually do more, in my opinion, for the good of the country outside of Parliament than inside. I liken it to being the one guy at a rock concert who doesn't like hard rock, okay? You're the one sitting there with a sign that says, you know, relax, chill out, be happy, and everybody else has, like, I don't know, black vinyl covered with acrylic razor blades and spikes and collars around the neck and black eyeshadow on their butt cheeks kind of thing. You know, you're the only voice of sanity in that crowd. And guess what's going to happen to you? You're going to get shouted down and probably shoved around and then kicked out. Okay? Because you're disrupting the harmony, man. The thing that allows harmony to progress through Parliament, as far as I see it, is scumbaggery. Okay, if you are engaging in crime, openly engaging in crime, you'll be protected. If you're trying to secretly gain in crime, not for the benefit of your masters, but for the benefit of yourself only, you might, about maybe 5, 10, 15 years too late or something, after you've been given a knighthood by the Queen directly and been given at least 6 different CEO positions for absolutely no good reason at major finance companies and insurance companies and investment statement companies and what have you. After you've done all that, and after all the damage is done, then maybe they'll scapegoat you so that they can cover one of their other criminals. Yeah, that's right. This country's bloody corrupt. Yeah. The funny thing is, when you think about asset sales, you think about corruption, you think about all the budgetary crapola that the government's saying that we're all going through. Oh, well, we're going to find some more money, and we're going to find that money by borrowing $400 million a week from foreign banks. This is the best idea we can come up with. Borrowing $400 million a week off foreign banks is the best economic plan that we have. And, of course, because we are borrowing $400 million a week, that means you, the people, are also borrowing $400 million a week. So that means you, the people, who didn't make the decision to borrow $400 million a week, need to tighten your belts. Whereas, what are we parliamentarians going to do? Oh, yeah, that's right. We're going to pass two pay rises in one term and also order us a brand new batch of BMWs to cruise round in. You've got to be freaking kidding me. What else are you going to do to us, John? Well, we're also going to pass draconian legislation so that up to 70 different government organizations can spy on you in your bedroom with cameras that they've installed. Really? Are they going to need a warrant to do that? Well, I know. Not for the first 3 days anyway. What do you mean? People can spy on me without a warrant for 3 days and break into my house and install cameras in my toilet and everything? And watch me as I'm taking a WikiLeak? That's right. Oh, man. Yes. And that's not all. It won't just be the police doing that, of course. It'll also be obscure government agencies that you probably never heard of, like the Beef Board and the Pork Board and other kind of things. So if you're doing any kind of intelligence gathering or protesting or activism or anything of that nature that actually attempts to expose and give the light of day towards subjectual contexts of scumbaggery, then you will become a victim of the state. Okay? Okay, John, thank you very much. You're welcome. I wish that I could just sit down and have an honest conversation with these politicians. I presume it would fall outside of regular FCC protocol, if I were to use the language that I believe is appropriate for the description of these scum. I have such difficulty maintaining my levels of rage, okay? And what's interesting is that these things that I'm angry about, they're not actually right in front of me, are they? Okay, it's not like John Key personally is coming to my house and trying to nanny me, okay, at my home. But I do know, through thinking about it and having a look what happens through history, relaying it and laying them over the top of each other, precisely what's going to happen to everybody. All right, and that's what really scares me and enrages me. All at the same time, is that I'm not going to be the only victim here. Everybody is. Everybody. Even those who are wealthy, even those who are working well within the system at the moment, will also become unwitting, massive victims of this. Okay? Well, there's no escape. You want everything. If you currently have any form of wealth or any form of freedom, you won't for long, okay? They're going to take it away from you little bit by little bit till eventually you're left with nothing till you're a slave on the continent that your forefathers conquered. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. We'll be right back. 218-339-8525. 218-339-8525. Back in a few minutes. Scumbaggery is coming kind of thing. While my very special guest is rushing out to work, getting his shirt on and what have you. Okay, Ryan, welcome to the program.
Hey, welcome. We do it when we can with the time zones and all that, you know. So.
Exactly. So we only have about maybe 10 minutes with you here before you've got to bounce off to work. So we'll do our first quick question. Just tell us a little bit about who you are and what it is you do to start off with.
Well, I'm an expatriate. I'm an American living in Japan, working out here, teach economics, and do a little bit of – actually, I got a lot of jobs, but I do radio like yourself and blogging and a lot of truth-telling, that kind of thing. I've written some books. I'm a Goodwill ambassador. I don't know what else you want to know, author. So I made some films about 9/11. I've made films about the war in Iraq, the anthrax case, even World War II. Working on one on Fukushima and the disaster. And so I guess filmmaker, blogger, truth teller, radio author.
Yeah, it's getting to the point where we're like multimedia activists. Like, we're not a radio activist, we're not a filmmaking activist, we're not an author activist, but it's all of the above.
Pretty much, yeah. Started off as a blogger, though, back in the day. Started off with Native American issues and then just kind of got morphed into more of a anti-neocon, anti-war site. And now it's everything.
It's like Bilbo Baggins out there. You step onto the road, and if you don't kick your feet, you never know where you'll find yourself swept off to. And yeah, incidentally, you found yourself swept off to Japan. So pardon the tsunami pun.
Well, hey, too soon.
It might be too soon, or too radioactive. But
dollar's only worth about 79 yen, so I made a good choice, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the thing. Even with the horrible tsunami and the Fukushima disaster in Japan, that still has not been as devastating as Ben Bernanke to America. Mm. Ben Bernanke is worse than a natural disaster and radiation, et cetera, et cetera.
If Ben Bernanke came to Japan, it would be like reenacting one of the old Godzilla movies.
Yeah, except he would win, maybe.
Just imagine Bernanke.
The banksters are scarier than a monster. I mean, you can just shoot the monsters.
At least you know when the monster's coming because they're huge, right? When these little monsters are coming on, you know, they're all in these black limousines, you can't see them, and they come to these back rooms, and they make deals that destroy your entire country from...
It's hard to destroy. I mean, with the stroke of a pen, the BIS can undermine your currency. I mean, there's all kinds of things they can do, and it's nothing to go, like, physically destroy. I mean, you could go blow up the Federal Reserve, but that's not going to do anything. I mean, it would be satisfying as hell, but it's not going to do anything. You know, the system would still be there, so it's harder to root out. They're like a virus.
Yeah.
They're more like a virus than a monster.
Well, so how do you fight a virus? You have an immune system, right? You don't vaccinate yourself. What you do is you give yourself all the nutrition so that your body can fight off the virus by itself, don't you? And so in this sense, we're talking about the media as being our main nutrient line, I think.
I think the media is where you have to start. I mean, there's a lot of steps you'd have to take, but until we break the monopoly on the press, you can't start fixing politics or anything else. So step one is kind of like what you're doing, what I'm doing, I guess, is fixing the press, fixing information first. And then that can lead to all the other activism and things we need to do.
Wait a second. The bankers figured out that the way to control everything was to be able to make stuff up that has value, or other people perceive it as value. Okay, they're able to make up money, and that allows them to buy up the entire world because they're buying everything for nothing. Now, that's their
and
one.
They're creating one, the wealth out of thin air, too.
Exactly. So it's the party trick that allows it to do that, and it expands all on its own. They can and it's practically unlimited resources. Now, is there such a thing as limited knowledge? I don't think so. I think if you want to expand your knowledge, you can. And the source of the corruption seems to be that money issuance out of nothing. And I think that the source of the solution for us, for the entire truth movement, is simply to rewrite, basically, what people have already been taught by that fake system.
It's money has nothing and their ability to tack usury on and everything. But see, it's not, they don't really care how much money they have. They can print it anyway. It's how much money you don't have is what they want. And what their goal is, and I'm being real, I just sound like hyperbole because I'm going out the door, but the main thing is they don't want anybody to have self-sufficiency. That means as an individual or a country, it doesn't mean... Like, if you look at a lot of South America and in Africa, Central America, etc., they use the IMF and all these other financial means to completely undermine people's currency. There is no relationship whatsoever between labor and their ability of what, you know, standard of living, what they can do. These people are working their tails off, and it doesn't matter. Places like Iran, if they were to be able to put oil on the market and more natural gas on the market, they'd have self-sufficiency. The way it is now, it's like an individual working from check to check. They've got them in perpetual debt, all these different states. Mm. But if they can get their own resource, build their own finished goods, and not have to borrow from banks and not have to go into debt, then they would be out from under their control. They wouldn't be able to control these people's lives. They're rich beyond all means, but what they want, their main desire is not only to have all the money you could ever think of and just, you know, play around on their yacht, snort cocaine and bang hookers. They want to control you, the peon, the little people, the useless animals, as Henry Kissinger called it. That is what they're after. We've got to break that. We're going to have to take control of our own lives. You've got to do things, make, you know, get your own food, get your own income, and don't let these banksters have way with it. And they're doing it now in Europe with the mortgage-backed security scandal. I'm sure you can get into that after I'm gone. Mm-hmm. They're shafting us. They're doing it in the U.S. too, with all these imperial escapades, spending trillions of dollars, blowing up brown people around the world, completely useless toys. And the Pentagon makes these $422 million F-22 Raptors that don't even work. It doesn't matter. They're spending money for the sake of it. You know this. Your audience knows this. But I will. I'd love to come on. I like your show and do it when I have time for sure. I just went on a little rant there. But I got to.
Well, what we can do is probably going to be the best time would probably be next week, because you're on the future as well. Is it currently Tuesday there or Monday?
It is Tuesday here, 7:30 in the morning.
So it'd be Saturday, 7 o'clock in the morning. Is that doable?
My Saturday, your Friday would work.
Your Saturday.
Well, I guess be the same time here in New Zealand. Yeah, that'll work.
All right, we'll just sort you out then. Ryan, Rise 2 cents. All right, now, just before you go, quickly plug your website, and you got to go to work like the rest of the slaves.
Right. Yeah, but I like my job. That's the difference. I like doing what I'm doing. But yeah, Rise 2 cents on YouTube, Anti-Neocons. Just Google Anti-Neocons. Or War by Deception, all one word. You can see big 3-hour and 40-minute movie I made about what's wrong with everything. Warbydeception.com.
Yeah, well, that's actually one of my listeners sent that movie to me, and I only got to watch the first 15 minutes, and he was just like, man.
I got this big update coming from Sibel Edmonds, the FBI whistleblower's, her new book. I was digging through that, and there was a golden nugget in there that just was like one of these aha moments. And I'll have to explain it later, but it just really seals the deal on 9/11.
All right. Well, hopefully we'll be getting Sibel on this show as well. All right, Ryan, thanks for stopping by, even in its brevity. It was nice, man.
All right, man. Talk to you later. Right, ciao.
Enjoy. Okay. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. You can search Anti-Neocon. I think that's his website there. It's Googleable. I love it when things are Googleable. Now, what was I talking about? Oh, yeah. The banksters creating money out of nothing. And this is the great point that, of course, you've got to worry about asset sales. Now, let's say somebody buys up your assets. How much do they stand to lose in cash or in assets or anything like that in order to buy that? Because in order to buy something, you've got to lose something, right? Let's say you want to buy a nice $100 pair of shoes. You've got to lose the hours that you had to work in order to make that $100 to buy that $100 pair of shoes. You know what a bankster does in order to buy that $100 pair of shoes? He just makes it up. I mean, it seriously is like I Dream of Bloody Genie out there. I bought your power supplements. I bought your farmland. Bang. Okay, that's what these people are doing. They may as well be dressed up in some sort of revealing belly dancey outfit while they read out the new budget for the country. Come on. just so horrible. This whole country is just fracked. It's so fracked. And it's not the only country. We're all fracked. Isn't it hilarious? You know? Isn't it the crux of the comedy that we really have to deal with in this modern world? Isn't it? Okay? Stuff is just messed up everywhere, and people get frustrated about, oh, everything is messed up, I can't do anything about everything. You're not supposed to do anything about everything, okay? That's physically impossible. It's too much pressure that you're putting on yourself. It's pretty straightforward. If you're in front of, I don't know, some description of scumbag, and you point a finger in his face, and out loud, you accuse him of engaging in scumbaggery, that's something you can do. Okay? It's doable. And why wouldn't you? However, people don't think about the simple, on the moment, boom, 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 right at that particular second, I can strike because I've got the opportunity. People don't think like that. They think instead of moment-to-moment opportunities, which is all you really have, at the end of the day, against the New World Order, it's about targets of opportunity. That's how any guerrilla warfare operation works. You're trying to destroy your enemy by striking at him when he's most exposed. Okay? And if he ain't exposed, then expose him. Okay? Even if that means sacrificing yourself. Because there's only two ways. Well, there's only two outcomes, okay, for the truth movement, and it's exactly the same outcomes that the Viet Cong during Vietnam felt. Victory or death. Well, I'm either coming home a winner, or I'm coming home in a body bag. That is the level of commitment I expect of myself and of anybody who really listens to this radio show. You don't have to have that commitment right now. If you're willing to develop yourself to the point where, you know what, I no longer care about what they can do to me, because what am I afraid of, really? What is it that they're not going to take from me? There's nothing. They will take everything. It's what they do. If you know the history, it's pretty obvious. And I am wanting to help others to activate in some way, shape, or form. I've already done the groundwork, okay? I've done more for the truth movement in this country in terms of online radio and video and all of that kind of stuff than anybody else, okay? If you don't believe me, point a stick at anybody else in New Zealand who has done even 1/100th, okay? If you can find me somebody who's even done a 1/100th of the work that I've done, I will give you a gold star just for finding them. Because it'll be that hard, if not impossible. Okay? Have a look at my YouTube channels. There's about 1,000 videos between them up in less than 4 years. Okay? Almost every single topic under the sun, every kind of protest about any subject has been covered, has been talked about, has been exposed. Almost every major politician that is currently in parliament today has been asked questions by me when they least expected on camera. Okay? I did it. Nobody else. It was me. Everybody else deserves credit for what they do. And I think that if you start trying to seek credit for yourself, then you don't deserve it either. I don't want any credit. I just want to keep doing what I'm doing. Okay? I really enjoy it. It makes me feel better to know that I can get up today, and you know, the first thing I do with every single day, other than drinking some water and go into the bathroom to take a Rockefeller, the first thing I do every day is I check my email and my show schedule and all of that kind of stuff to see, man, I've got a lot of scumbaggery to expose today. I've got a lot of people who have contacted me today asking me to interview that person and that person. In fact, I just heard back from Catherine Albrecht's assistant today. So she's going to be coming on the show on the 29th, I think, on the Friday. So just sitting here, just being me, just doing my everyday thing is incredibly exciting. And it's incredibly fulfilling. And what happens with things that are exciting and fulfilling is that often you're not the only one doing them, okay? Today I received a piece of equipment, a shoulder-mounted camera holder. In fact, for those of you on the webcam, I'm just going to kind of show you what this looks like. Okay, so it's a shoulder mount. And it's got a little clip, so basically I just pop it on my shoulder. It's got a little hook, Velcro sort of thing that I come across my chest. So I can hold my camera and have hands free. So I'll be able to keep megaphoning people, keep giving John Key the finger at the same time that I'm exposing him with my camera mounted on my shoulder. Thank you very much to the listener who donated this one, because you know what? Everything we use on this show, everything, I'm not kidding here, is donated. So if you want to donate, give me another piece of equipment, have your life. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. We'll be right back.
just in time. Head down the 405. Gotta meet the new boss by 8 a.m. The phone rings in the car. The wife is working hard. She's running late tonight again. Well, I know what I've been told. You gotta work to feed the soul. But I can't do this all on my own. No, I know I'm no Superman. Just plugged into the wall. And that deck of tarot cards won't get you very far. There ain't no hand to break your fall. Well, I know what I've been told. You gotta know just when to fold. But I can't do this all on my own. Superman. I'm no Superman.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. That's Vinnie with a Y because it's the most important question. Phone lines are now open if you are keen to call on in. The number is 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. And if you're calling in from overseas, and I did like to hear from the New Zealand and even have an Australian listener call in from his iPhone, you can download the app Bobsled. It allows you to call US landlines for free. So if you're in the UK or Europe or anywhere around the world or whatever, and you want to call into the show for free, and you have an iPhone, lucky you. I'd really love one because they've got a 720 HD camera on them, and they record picture-perfect crystal sound. Sometimes I'm out there, and I'll see somebody engaging in scumbaggery or whatever, and I don't have my camera on me, so I can't go up and do anything to them. So, you know, I'd love an iPhone. It'd be great. But anyway, Bobsled's the app. You can call in using that puppy. Pretty choice. And, of course, one of our listeners clued me in to that one, as they clue me into everything. Have you? I mean, nobody else is in this position where I am, but I've got to tell you, man, my listeners are really bright people, and they're very genuine, and they got really good senses of humor and all of that kind of stuff. And I want to meet as many of those people as humanly possible. And I'm actually very serious about this. I invite listeners around to my house just to, you know, come around and sit down and chill out and talk about whatever. Okay, I invite listeners to give me a ring. I'll give them my home line and phone number and everything like that. You want to call up and just have a chat with me for an hour or 45 minutes or something like that? Yeah, the answer is yes. Why not? Why wouldn't I? Because what's going to happen if I'm suddenly, I don't know, turn into I don't have the time for you, or I can't be bothered, or I'm too important, or I've got better things to do with my time. That's just a form of douchebaggery that I'm not prepared to slip into, frankly. You know, frankly, frack that. So I'm not going to let it happen. You got to be, as far as I'm concerned. And I've been having some conversations with listeners, and I think this is actually probably one of my biggest concerns, is that in the truth movement, we have an inherent distrust for anybody who gets big. All right? It's just that simple. If you're big in the truth movement today, you've got a huge amount of people who are suspicious of how you got there and what your real intentions are. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm only 27, I've only been doing this for a short period of time relative to some people, and I've had a lot. I've covered more ground than most other people have in the same time frame. So I'm probably going to wind up being very large indeed some years down the track. my big concern is that I will lose touch with people, that I will forget about the people who helped me get to where I got, that I will be ungrateful, that I will lose any ability to be humble or open or caring or honest, because there's so many things that happen along the way that change you, change your perspective, change your life. And you don't know who you are coming out the other end of that tunnel sometimes. And I see this happen to a lot of people who have big career changes or advances, or they suddenly get everything that they want, and then they lose everything it means to be human. Maybe the human condition is about not getting what you want and recognizing that you have already everything that you need. Maybe that is it. Maybe we put too much arbitrary goals in front of us, and we think that I must achieve that goal in order to have value in myself. Sometimes, yes, that's the case. You do have to achieve goals, but achieving goals is just achieving goals in and of itself. If you, on the other hand, have the ability to see through all the things that other people want you to do, and you ask yourself that simple and obvious and yet for some reason very rarely asked question, what do I really want? What do I really want with my life? Am I capable of doing the things that I want? Will I doubt myself? In honesty, the truth, regardless of what it might be, I don't know what the truth is about everything or anything. And all I see is my perspective. Okay, I'll be standing on one side of the mountain, and I'll see the same mountain that the other guy's seeing, but he's seeing it from the opposite side, and he's telling me that what he's seeing is different, and I'm saying what I'm seeing is different. Instead of us communicating and going, you know what? We're both looking at different sides of the same mountain. Why don't we climb up and meet in the middle somewhere? Instead of doing that, we instead argue the merits of our case instead of doing something to actually get rid of that argument. Okay? That's why you've got to come together on all these points you agree and leave the rest. Okay? All this whole divide, conquer, manipulative BS propaganda that we get out of the media and the politicians and all of those other branches of eclectic scumbaggery, they're all designed to keep us apart from each other. And that's something that I've noticed is actually the main underlying thing with the listeners that I have that have come around here or have called me up on the phone, is that they simply want to be able to talk and hang out with somebody of like mind who doesn't just call them a crazy conspiracy theorist whenever they say their objective opinion with facts to support it. And that's what everybody wants. We just want to be accepted. We don't want to be persecuted for being truthful, for being open, for being honest, for being hardworking. We don't want to be sabotaged. All of that horrendous negativity that we come to expect from the corporate world and all of our various different gauges of employment that we've had throughout the years and everything like that, it all really sucks, and it makes us angry. And it's not necessarily that particular situation or those particular people or anything like that, and it's not you that's the problem. It's the whole system, okay? It's such a big problem that you alone cannot solve it. You're not supposed to learn how to solve the whole system, okay? Learn how to survive it. Learn how to get out of it. Just you. You're the one caught in the spider web. Everybody's caught in the spider web. And the spider is telling all those flies that are sitting there wriggling and struggling that to stop struggling, to stop resisting, that it is futile, that you can never get free from the spider's web. those flies that listen and take heed, that they cannot struggle, that they cannot free themselves, wind up dying and being eaten and having their insides liquidated and sucked out through a silly straw. And those flies, and I've seen this happen many times, fly will be stuck in a web and he'll be buzzing and he'll be fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting. The spider's almost over. He's still fighting and fighting and fighting. Oh my God, he got away. That's what we should all do. No matter how big that spider is, no matter how bloody sticky his web is, if you give up, that spider in that web win. If you do not, if you keep fighting, you keep trying to fly. Okay? Doesn't matter how many people try to ground you. Keep trying to fly. And you will get away. It happens every time. Don't you understand? That's the power of the human spirit. We cannot be kept down if we don't want to be kept down. Okay, that's why propaganda is such an important mechanism to the enemy, because they can convince you to stop fighting. Then they don't have to fight you, and you're screwed. Okay? I think this is basically just the natural principle that all of us need to be cognizant of. Any time that they tell you to stop fighting, any time that you feel discouraged or anything like that, that's the time that you need to go even harder. That's the time that they cannot handle you growing bigger than you are. Okay? Just don't lose yourself along the way, is it? Thanks very much for listening, ladies and gentlemen. The number is 218-339-8525, and in the next 5 minutes as well, if you're not listening to hour number two here, you'll be able to listen to Evelyn Gilbert on radiofetzer.blogspot.com. That's also going to be archived as well as my show, so do what you like, ladies and gentlemen. I care not, because I'm having fun and I'm continuing to try and fly. We'll be right back after the break at the VMEEastwardShow.com. Ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the show that is in line with the Three Musketeers motif of all for one and one for all. I happen to be one for all, is all for one, though. And the answer I've found, answered daily and consistently, is yes. There's a lot of people out there who listen to the show and really support me. In fact, my girlfriend was surprised. I don't know why she was surprised, but she found out, I think it was yesterday or the day before, just a new daily life, walking around or whatever, she'll bump into people who are listeners just randomly, and people come to the house and they don't live too far away and all of that kind of stuff, and it's starting to dawn on her that there are a hell of a lot of people in New Zealand that listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Like, more than most of us realize. And this is a good sign. I mean, how could that not be a good sign? Okay, if more people are listening to the truth. If more people of conscience understand that the media is lying to them. How can that be a bad thing? And there's so many truthers all over the place who get really depressed, and with good reason. I'm not going to, you know, say that there's no reason to be depressed about the New World Order and a ruthless control freak, control grid and whatever. Okay, there's good reason to be upset by it, sure. But most of the reason of that being is because you're alone. Okay, you'll be like the only truther in your family, or you'll be the only truther in your group of friends, and they'll still remain friends with you, and they'll still remain your family, and but they just don't get it. They just don't get it, and you get upset. Okay, and you start to withdraw into yourself, and the more that you start to withdraw into yourself, the harder it becomes to reach out and actually bring people towards you. Okay, I've likened it to. Sort of like a gentle counselor's situation, okay? Just think about it. When you're sitting down to somebody and you're telling them the truth about 9/11 was an inside job or anything, that person is going to have a reaction, okay? A very bad reaction in a lot of cases, okay? To opening up and becoming honest with themselves and what have you, okay? What I think is happening is that instead of reaching out, people are withdrawing in. It's the opposite thing they should do. Depression makes you withdraw in. Anger makes you reach out, okay? So if you had to pick between the two, pick anger, okay? Don't be angry at your parents or your friends or anything for not knowing. It's not their bloody fault, okay? They don't own the Rockefeller Foundation. They don't own the Carnegie Endowment Fund. They don't run the Council on Foreign Relations. They don't participate in Bilderberg Group meetings. None of those things that I just mentioned, they will even have any awareness of whatsoever. So if you tell them they're stupid for not knowing it, then you're the one who's stupid. Okay? You try to explain things to people that you know that they don't. Okay? What do you think? Okay, they're not going to understand you. They're going to get angry with you. They're going to be upset with you because you didn't start off knowing all of this stuff all of a sudden, did you? You didn't have somebody coming off at you and rambling at you and telling you you don't know nothing and listen to me, I know everything, did you? It didn't work. And it wouldn't work, would it? Okay, this is the problem, man. Because we know the truth, okay, we often forget logic. And because we forget logic, we often forget that other people are very social creatures too, and that the social subtle manipulations that the New World Order's been used on them, we can actually use those methodologies as well, can't we? Pick your battles. Pick your topics. Pick the person, okay? 7 billion people, 1 million topics to discuss. You have options. You have options to who you're going to try to convince about what. Okay? First of all, know your topic. If you know that 9/11 is an inside job, you've got to figure out a way to have a very simple analogy so that people will understand. Okay? Like my analogy for 9/11 is it's like a barbecue. All right? You go out to your barbecue, you turn it on for an hour. Did the grill melt? No. Did the barbecue explode into atomized dust particulates? No. Okay. Well, 9/11 was an inside job then. Pretty straightforward. Not that difficult to understand. Fire doesn't melt steel. and aluminium cans filled with kerosene do not turn concrete and steel into dust particulates. It's not physically possible. Okay. It's pretty straightforward. Now, who are you talking to when you're asking that? My uncle, for instance, is an engineer. Now, you'd figure an engineer would see that and just go instantly, oh my God, 9/11 is an inside job. No. He even had half a dozen documentaries there. He claims to have watched them about 9/11 and all these questions about 9/11 and all of that kind of stuff. He says, no, it's the planes, no, it's the planes, no, it's the planes. Okay. He can't wake up to that then because he's built up an axiom of engineering knowledge so that if popular mechanics tells me that it fell due to pancake collapse, even though there's no evidence of it whatsoever, none of it's proven or anything like that, I'm just going to straight up believe it, because they're engineers. I'm an engineer, and us engineers have to stick together and drink together. That's what's going on here, okay? And you notice very quickly that the rage starts to set in with these people, okay? If they're in denial, the second thing that happens after denying it is to start attacking and start attacking the person who makes them deny, which is you. You've put yourself into that bloody position. Why? Okay. So you know what I did when he started going off and flying off the handle? I just go, yep, yep. Okay. No problem. I'm not talking to you about this again. And sure enough, you don't have to worry about that person ever again because that's one out of many. Okay. That's one family member out of all your family members. Okay, and if they're not convinced about one thing, that's fine. You don't have to keep trying them on. In fact, this is another funny thing that truthers do. They go to the same person and talk about the same thing, even though they know that person ain't interested. Fucking stupid. There's a bazillion subjects. A bazillion. Literally. Okay? Find out what that person's tender hook is. Find out. Okay? If your family member is an atheist, oh boy, there is a lot of conspiracy to do with the Catholic Church and the Jesuits and child trafficking rings and all of that kind of stuff. Dead Sea Scrolls, Anunnaki, all of this kind of stuff. Anybody who is not a believer in mainstream religion is so easy to wake up and manipulate, right? Believe me, if they weren't easy to manipulate in the first place, they wouldn't have become an atheist, right? And this is the thing. You're going from one spectrum to the other. This is how I tell you that both sides of every argument is wrong, okay? This is how I know, because the argument would be over real quickly, okay? Atheists think because religion's wrong, Or rather the Vatican and the evil scumbaggery that controls it is wrong. That means that none of the religion exists, none of the God exists, none of the spirituality exists, and I'm going to go straight down the other end of the spectrum. Wrong! It's somewhere in the middle, okay? The spirituality, the God, and everything like that, it exists, but not in the church. It's inside you, right here in the center, okay? To deny your own divinity is a dangerous thing, I feel, okay? I feel like I'm really divine, okay? Not because I'm a god or I have amazing powers of persuasion or any stuff like that, okay? Humans are not gods, okay? That's why they call it the human condition. Anybody who denies their divinity, on the other hand, there's the concept that I'm a descendant of God, or as David Wilcott calls it, the God particle. You know, they build that big super collider in Europe to try and blow some atoms up together, looking for that God particle, spending billions of dollars all the time, realizing, oh my God, I am the God particle. I just wasted a couple of billion. You know? That's why people are always looking for these things that don't exist, that are already inside them, because they can make a hell of a lot of money. Okay? And that's how beliefs get formed. Because somebody's capable of turning a profit out of it. Okay? You have a look at Destiny Church here in New Zealand. Okay? Bishop Brian Tamaki. Okay? Now, he's driving around in a, what's it called? In an expensive car, has a batch, has a boat, has a mansion, okay? It's like the guy's won the lottery. It's like he's won Big Sunday, okay? In New Zealand, we've got a Big Wednesday. Okay? It's a lottery type thing, you know. You get the Audi Q7, you get the Lamborghini Diablo, you get the Ray Glass boat with the 70 horsepower twin engines, you get a $500,000 batch, you get $1 million worth of credit card shopping and travel and blah, 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 and all of this kind of stuff. And then you look at Brian Tamaki, Bishop Brian Tamaki, self-proclaimed bishop, of course. You have to be appointed a bishop by some kind of person who's actually higher than you up the hierarchy in order to be a bishop. Not Brian Tamaki, though. No, no, no. You got Destiny Church. You got 10% tithings, ladies and gentlemen. He wins Big Sunday every week. Every week he wins this lottery. Okay? That's what's going on here. And that's what happens when you find out a way to exploit other people's goodwill. I found out a way to exploit other people's goodwill by going out and doing good, and people come out and support me. I'm not going to use that to manipulate people into making my life a hell of a lot easier to live and cruise around and all garbed out swank and whatever. I can't do that. The rest of the people that support me are just as struggling for life as I am, and it's incredibly disrespectful. Like if I was to, you know, go out and spend money on like extremely expensive cigars and top shelf liquor and buy a $5,000 Valentino suit, and this is what a lot of these people do. Okay, and it's sick to me because I've been so used to living hand to mouth for so long that I don't know what it's like anymore to live like I used to. You know, I used to have plenty of spare cash and everything like that. I was a really, really top and well-paid salesman, and I gave that all up because it's not worth it. It's not, okay? Well, at least not for me anyway. And I know a lot of other people deal with this every day just as I did. You go into work, and then you think, man, I really don't want to be here. You have to interact with your with some slaves who don't question anything, who are talking about the American Idol, and you think, man, I don't want to be here. You try to tell them 9/11 is an inside job, and they say, oh, you've just been watching too many movies, and you think, I don't want to be here. And it's over and over again, every day. Every day is a constant discouragement. That's really, really depressing. Really enraging. And I know exactly how all that feels. Sarah, my girlfriend, she comes home and she tells me that she's sick of the slaves at work. And they're just so dumb and this, that, and the other. I remember I used to think that way. I don't have to think that way anymore because I'm not in that situation. I don't have to, I probably do have to in a certain degree. I have to work, okay? There's nobody in this world who doesn't have to work, okay? Those who choose not to work always pay the consequences. Those who choose to work also pay consequences as well. You can't escape consequences of any kind. But I don't have to go out and free associate with slaves in a working situation where somebody's telling me what to do all day, every day, paying me a set amount to do a set amount of time or accomplishments and work. I don't have to do that. Other people still do. And that's because they're not willing to sacrifice 16 hours a day for a number of years without taking a break in order to be in this position that I'm in. Okay, we're coming up on 2 years of the Vinnie Eastwood Show now. I've moved heaven and earth in order to be here. I've been supported by umpteen people, and I appreciate every single one of them as much today as I did when I had absolutely nothing. When I was just starting out, just doing YouTube videos. Okay? Every bit of support is so valued because I literally would not be capable of doing just what I'm normally doing. Okay? Without all of that. I'm really humbled because, well, basically, most of my life, and I think this is probably what everybody else is going through, most of my life I never felt really appreciated. Like, nobody really cared. You know, I made some money for other people and what have you, but that was the source, that was the only real source of their appreciation of me because I was making them money. I wasn't actually giving them anything of real value, just fiat currency. And that was the only thing that they valued me for. Now, people don't value me for the money I make them at all because I don't make them money. I don't make anybody money. I'm going to make myself money. I'm getting myself into debt. Okay. It's not something that I'm in it. I'm not in it for the money. It's not an industry to me. Okay. It's about the truth. It's about sacrificing everything that you got because you know everything's going to get taken away from you anyway. So I'm just cutting to the chase here, man. It's 2012. Time to stop fracking around, ladies and gentlemen. You listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Call in, lines are now open, 218 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. Be right back just after the break of the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com.
Black sunrise, shadow coming over the sky. Black sunrise, always gonna be a surprise, 'cause we don't know.
To see out there,
the way it's going to be. Thunder clouds rolling in, it's gonna rain.
It's gonna rain. Raining and pouring, ladies and gentlemen. Scumbaggery coming down from the skies like meteorites from a broken planet elsewhere in the solar system, exploded by its own stupidity as its nuclear weapons development program goes awry. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the most genocidal 2 hours in talk radio on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And the thing about AmericanFreedomRadio.com that I'm not sure if everybody comprehends this, but the guys who run American Freedom Radio, the guys who set it up, are big, big patriots, okay? They've been in the movement basically since day one, right? Ever since it was possible to contribute, they started contributing everything that they can. Romero from American Freedom Radio has given, some might say, more than most to the truth movement. And think about this. Jason Burmis, Webster Tarpley, and many other big, big people who you expect to see on the biggest truth of talk radio shows, and they're the biggest filmmakers and the greatest things and all of that sort of stuff since sliced bread. Guess who gave them their first radio shows? Danny Romero, okay? He is an intelligent person, a very perceptive person, a very appreciative person, a very wise person, an honest, diligent, and hardworking person. And every single person on this network owes this show to him, okay? And the guys who are running the boards there, okay, they work a hell of a lot harder than any one of us radio show hosts do, believe me, because we've only got to do our one show. They have to do all of them. Okay, they have to find us, they have to produce us, they have to bring the feeds up and down, they have to do the archiving, they got to do the blurbs, and they got to do everything on the website. It's a hell of a lot of work for these guys, okay? And they don't ask for anything, okay? They literally don't. I haven't seen the guys of American Freedom Radio actually ever ask people for donations except once. And that was when they were going to be moving out of Texas because of the Gulf of Oil Kano spill. And not enough support came in, and they weren't able to leave. So just think about this. Even without encouragement, they still keep the fires burning. It's incredible the amount of work and the amount of content that comes out of AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And so many of my listeners, and I concur with them every single time they say this, they say, I can't believe more people don't listen to AmericanFreedomRadio.com. I say, I can't believe it either. I mean, I've listened to the other networks, and they're just nowhere near. I mean, it's pathetic by comparison. I'm not just tooting my own trumpet or anything like that, but the other show hosts that are on American Freedom Radio, a lot of them are in, as far as I'm concerned, better than me. And I have a huge ego, so that's saying something. You know, it's just obscenely good. Obscenely. There's so much good information, the top quality guests. It's way up here, man. The quality That's why American Freedom Radio is so important, even to New Zealanders. If you're a New Zealander and you're listening through Rush FM in Hamilton or through the iFinity Network in Invercargill, I'm going to highly recommend, because this is actually how I, in New Zealand, woke up to the truth movement and actually found out that there even was one, is listening to American talk radio, okay? Everything that is happening over there is happening over here as well, okay? So if you listen to Americans talking about the New World Order, if you listen to New Zealand, or if Americans listen to New Zealanders talking about the New World Order, you find we're all speaking the same language, English. But but that's why American Freedom Radio is so global. I mean, we've got me from New Zealand, Santos Bonacci from Australia, and heaps of American talk hosts and people who basically. This is how the selection process goes, really, in really good talk radio. You'll hear one show with one host who does something incredibly amazing, and it's indicative of what they do every day on their show, and then suddenly that person gets a call. You know what? What you did there on that show was absolutely amazing. I'd like to offer you a little bit of a radio show. It's the same thing that happened to Freda, okay? Freda X on American Freedom Radio. Same thing that happened to me, okay? We've all gotten onto this network because we shine, okay? And our shiningness gets recognized by other people who shine, okay? The listeners, and particularly Danny Romero at American Freedom Radio, okay, they recognize and appreciate what it is we do, what it is we say, what it is we think, okay? And just give us the opportunity to allow other people to experience it more. So if you want to support American Freedom Radio, I think that they really deserve it, much more than, say just me or just any one of the radio show hosts on this network, because, you know, if I went down, that would be pretty bad. You know, it would be pretty bad for New Zealand. But if American Freedom Radio goes down, I think that would be bloody awful for the world. That's what I'm talking about. When you take responsibility, just like I say all the time, power comes with taking responsibility, not the other way around. Power doesn't come with great responsibility. Power comes with corruption, generally, unless you're only given that power because you've been responsible up till now. Okay, that's when people give you responsibilities, if you've shown that you're already responsible. Okay, and American Freedom Radio, probably the most responsible network I've ever seen. There are no conflicts at American Freedom Radio. We don't start any tiffs with other people on radio or anything like that. It's not a good thing to do because, well, basically, if you spend your life trying to go find enemies, you'll find more than you can handle. Okay? And there have been some people who've tried to sabotage or talk down at American Freedom Radio, and you know how much abuse and attacking back and retribution the hosts or the owners or the website or anything American Freedom Radio has done to defend themselves against those kind of people who've shafted us and lied about us and all of that kind of stuff. Do you know how much we've actually done to attack them back and expose them? Nothing at all. And there's a good reason for that, because we don't play that game here at American Freedom Radio. If you're a good cat and you deserve the airtime, we give it to you. If you're a douchebag, you don't deserve the airtime, we don't. Everybody ends up exactly where they deserve to be, as Danny says. And frankly, that's one of the most wisest phrases I've ever heard. Everybody ends up exactly where they deserve to be. If you're bringing home negativity to your family ain't going to like you for too much longer. You're going to wind up single. You're going to wind up divorced. Same thing in Patriot Talk Radio, man. If you bring your negativity into the truth movement, you are going to wind up in a negative spot in the truth movement. It doesn't matter. Okay? You could be successful, but you're still a scumbag if you got there through negative means, okay? If you stole people's advertisers and stole their radio transmitters and lied and manipulated
and play people off against each other in order to get where you are, you're scum. Okay? You're straight up scum. But if you did all that to American Freedom Radio, we wouldn't expose you. Even if you took what you got from us, still wouldn't attack you. Because as long as you're still doing good work for the truth movement, you don't deserve our negative attention. Okay? I feel that it's about time that people recognize the true value of simply being a positive, happy, and constructive person. Being worth your weight in gold is not an easy task because it requires you to have a lot of humility and it requires a lot of sacrifice, a lot of sacrifice. It requires you being able to get walked over time and time again and still get up and still keep fighting. That is the strength that people on this network have. We've all been through mountains, literally, of crap, and we've all come together, recognizing that very, very important lesson that we will all hang separate if we do not stick together. There is a lot of infighting in the truth movement. A lot. Being behind the scenes here, this is my second year now, and I have heard things about your heroes and mine in the truth movement from the people who have worked alongside them for years, and things that would make your blood curdle about some of the patriots and the truth about them and what they've actually done. Some of them, not all of them. And we don't talk about those types of things, or at least I choose not to. It's because, basically, it's so discouraging when you realize that one of your heroes is actually one of your enemies. And you just think about that. If your hero is actually your enemy, does it actually work and make you better if you get rid of them? Okay, think about this. What if somebody in the truth movement was really massive, waking up a heck of a lot of people, but they were really dishonest, deceitful, and thieving in order to get in that position? Would you expose them, knowing that if you did, you would doom millions, millions of people to never wake up? You wouldn't do it, would you? Not if you were a real truther. And that's the situation that we find ourselves at American Freedom Radio. We're at the mercy of people who are masquerading as truthers sometimes, and yet we just let them keep doing what they're doing because we know that they do more harm than good. And patriot and truther infighting is something that we all got to stop. Right? Regardless, I don't care how badly you've been shafted by anybody, they're not likely to exterminate you. It's just that simple. You have other people in the patriot movement that work really hard all day, every day, yada, 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 waking people up. Cool. When the hell am I ever going to have an argument with them? I mean, a real argument. Because it's a game of thrones, a game of egos, a game of kings and queens and Rockefellers and Rothschilds that we're playing here, okay? This isn't a game. This isn't some mere battle of wits or some chess game to make ourselves feel better about I can checkmate you and you can't checkmate me. That's not what this is about. It's about we're all dead. Okay? That's it. We're all dead if we do nothing. We're all dead if we attack each other and not the enemy. We're all dead if we don't take care of ourselves and take out the enemy, the real big, overarching, evil, scumbaggery enemy. We're all dead. That's the seriousness of the situation. So think about that. Compare the seriousness of the situation to your actions that you're taking towards that situation. Do they match up? Are you fighting against the New World Order? Are you exposing their agents as if you're going to die if you don't? I am. I understand this very, very clearly. That's why I spend almost all my time, you know, as long as my eyes are open and my brain is still firing during my consciousness stages of the day. I'm awake for about 18 hours a day or something like that. The vast majority of that, I spend it working because I know that it's my last shot to do that today. Because tomorrow, I may have some black uniform thugs come into my room and exterminate me. All right? It might happen. frankly, the day that does happen will be the most satisfying day of my life. Because as I said before, lots of patriots are really frustrated that they don't get appreciated, that they don't get noticed. And if I do wind up having black uniform thugs with MP5s coming into my room and going, get down on the ground, put down that apple, it's an illegal item of weaponry, then I will be quite satisfied that I have struck such a nerve that they would pay attention to little old me. That would make me happy. To be taken off, dragged away, gone through court, and all of the things, torturing me by electrocuting me on the nipples, that would make me happy. Because it shows just how infantile these scum really are. Listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. Final seconds to ring in. Back in a few minutes.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca road when along came a semi with a high-end canvas-covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca, Mac, with me you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere.
Welcome back,
I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo.
To the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. You can't threaten a conspiracy theorist, ladies and gentlemen. You can't. Okay? It's like trying to threaten a ghost with death. I'm already dead, dude. Okay? You want to come over here and threaten me, a patriot, a truther, a patriot with a frickin' megaphone? You want to threaten me with slavery and death? I'm already a slave. You give me liberty or give me death. Okay? You'll be doing me a favor. Because I don't want to live life as a slave. You can't threaten me. Because I know that there's nothing you can take from me that you ain't going to take anyway. What you're doing is you're just trying to, if you are trying to stop me from doing something, it means that you're afraid. You fear me. You pathetic trash. You've just given yourself away. You've just told me that I'm having an effect upon you. You've just told me that I'm winning. You've just told me that you are weak. You've told me that you can't win when you threaten me. That's why these scum are so pathetic. Threats are what you use as a very last resort when you know that you've got nothing. Okay? Like in poker, if you're doing a big bluff, it's because you got nothing, but you want to take it all anyway. You just hope like God that people believe your lie. That's what this is about. Isn't it? These draconian laws that we all are very, very afraid of. The drones, the search and surveillance bill, this Whisper and Pippa and various other types of legislation that rhyme with IPA. You know, they're coming after us from all left, right, and centre. It's because they're
deathly afraid of all of us, scared like little children, piddling in their pants, eating Saab Starburst and popping back the Prozac and washing it down with 100-year-old proof frickin'... I look at the frustration comes up because you can't hold the words, right? Okay. I love the malt liquor analogy because these people are like malt liquor. They really are cheap, nasty, and used to just damage communities. Okay? Basically, that's what it is. Politicians and their media apparatus are like the opiate of the masses. They're trying to get us all hooked so that we will be buyers for life. I ain't buying. Not anymore. I used to drink the Kool-Aid, but not anymore. I used to think that I was the Shiite Muslim and that everything was all mine for the taking, but not anymore. I realize that I'm only one small part of a greater design, that I do have great abilities and capacities and what have you, but I only do my part. Okay, I can't do everybody else's work for them. I have too many responsibilities for myself. I'll do everything that I can, but I'm not going to sell anybody a fish. You come up to me and you want to buy a fish off me? I'm sorry, mate. I can't sell you a fish. Okay? I'm too busy going and catching my own. You can come catch fish with me, and I'll show you how to catch fish for yourself so you won't need me anymore. Okay? And in cases, this is actually really detrimental to me in a lot of ways. Like, I'll teach people... who was it? I think it was Lisa. TheAwarenessParty.com. And she was paying somebody, every time she wanted to post one thing on her WordPress website, she would pay somebody $50. And that person was out of town that day or something of that nature or whatever. So she said, Vinny, do you want $50 just to update this one page on my website with this thing about pesticides that we just filmed and everything? I said, sure, yeah, I'm going to accept $50. Hell yeah. So I went in there, and I realized that her website posting was really, really simple. And so I got her on Skype, and I said, Lisa, you don't need me. This is what you need to do, okay? These are the links. This is all this stuff. And I'm going to show you me doing it, okay, across Skype. I'm going to do this website for you, and I'm going to show you while I'm doing it, and I'm going to teach you while I'm doing it, okay? You will never have to pay me or anybody else ever again in order to update your website. And sure enough, she's never given me any money again. Okay? And I'm actually happy about that because she couldn't afford to do it. She had time, but not the money to do what she really wanted to do with that website. I gave her that skill. I didn't charge for it. Okay, we had a deal and everything like that. I was only being paid to post that one thing, and that was it. But I decided to go the extra mile so that she would never, ever need anybody else's help again to get it done. And that's what we all need to be in their position. It's called independence. If you're independent, you are sweet. Okay, you don't need anybody else to help you because you're capable of helping yourself. This is what I want every patriot to be able to do. Okay, and if you are somebody who owns so much as a film camera, or so much as a headset with one of these little microphones on it, if you own those pieces of equipment alone, and a computer to edit them with, you can become an independent media activist, and you can come and talk to me, and I will teach you, and tell you, and show you everything you need to know, so that you don't need me anymore. That's what I want to do. I want to be the person that everybody needs to not be needed. Okay? That's the media's job. The media's job is to be there to do all your research and all your work for you so that you don't need to do it yourself. I say the opposite is actually the case. You don't need the media there to tell you or teach you anything. You simply need to go and do your own research and your own filmmaking, your own radio broadcasting, and it's very, very simple, and I can teach you within 15 to 20 minutes how to make your own movie and how to make your own radio show and how to design your own website. 20 minutes is all I'll need from you. Okay? It is that simple. It is that easy. The rest of it is something you have to go and do for yourself, though. Okay, I can teach you, I can give you the skills, give you the resources, give you the knowledge, give you the experience. I'll give that to you for free because it doesn't cost me anything. But going out there and actually doing it yourself, that is where the real challenge comes in. Because you won't have my voice in your ear to motivate you. You will only have your own. And it's a lonely world out there when you are the only sane voice in an entire public meeting full of New World Order loving UN slime, and you're talking about Codex Alimentarius and Agenda 21 like it's a bad thing. It's a lonely position to be in. And you know what? The lonelier position you are in, the more proud you should be of yourself, because nobody else put you there. Nobody else forced you to open your mouth. You made a decision based upon your own volition, and nobody in that meeting was able to stop you from speaking. And all of those little bits of tidbits of knowledge that you managed to speak out, okay, would never have been said, never have been uttered, had you not been there, had you not taken the initiative. And you'll find out that if you do that, if you stick your neck out, people swarm towards you. Because they appreciate what you do. And they wish that they could do it too. And then it's your responsibility to tell them, don't just appreciate me, appreciate yourself. Because you can do it too. There is a possibility for you to spend as little time or as much time as you want to make all that media, to make all those radio shows, to do all of it. You've got the ability. We've got the technology. The time it takes does not take all that much. Stop watching television for one day, just one day. Set a stopwatch while everybody else is watching television. Be in your room editing a video or writing a script or organizing a guest to interview on your radio show, anything like that. See? And then when you stop the stopwatch and everybody else has gone to bed just after watching TV, you realize, oh my God, I just got 6 hours of work done. I got two radio shows done and a YouTube video, and I made two, three more posts on my website. That's nearly a whole day's work. I've done more than a mainstream media employee will do in a day, and I did it in less than half a working day. I'm that powerful now because I have the technology. See? It's real easy. You just got to figure out what you want to do. It doesn't matter what anybody else wants you to do. What topic particularly interests you? Okay? What people are actually valuable to you? What activists and what commentators do you want to have conversations with because they blindly just inspire you? Make a decision. Go out and do it. What do you got to lose that the New World Order ain't going to take from you anyway? You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. The archives will be posted there every single day, as well as at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. We appreciate all of your listenership, all of your donations, all of your subscriptions. $5 a month to support the Vinnie Eastwood Show would be very much appreciated indeed. If you're capable, go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, subscribe today, and you'll get commercial-free archives and everything. We'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for listening.